absolutely fine. You never need to say anything you don't want to say. But if you do want someone to stand with you, come and see me afterwards. Either I or somebody else will stand. The way of God in working out these things is that you have to be very deliberate. The fact that God wants to help you doesn't mean it automatically works out, as we as a church have found out. The will of God does not automatically work out. The idea that God controls everything and so only what He wants happens is a false one. God does not overrule your choice. So your participation in what God makes possible is vital. So therefore, if there is something that you are going through that you want someone just to stand with you in, take advantage of it. Okay? There's lots of people who are happy to stand with you. This idea that whatever God wants automatically happens has hurt people. It is a false notion that has to be dealt with. Because if what God wants always happened, the world would not be the way it is. Okay? God has revealed Himself to be kind and gracious and merciful, slow to anger, swift to bless. I am quoting now from the Old Testament. So this is not something that is just a New Testament reality. He has always been good. So if what is happening around us is what God wants, then there is a contradiction in terms between what He says He is like and what He accomplishes. It is far better for us to realize that God, who has made every good thing possible, waits for you to receive. You know, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, and anybody who has any, you know, have ever seen any portrayal of the Passion of the Christ, whether that very graphic movie or otherwise, it was not a simple matter of Him saying, okay, I'll die, bing, everything was done 3 days later. It was a torturous, tormenting thing that Jesus went. The sins of the whole world were placed on Him. And by that sacrifice, He has made salvation. God's hand to save you out of whatever might afflict you, from sin onwards, has been made available to every single human being. And yet not every person is saved. Why? Because God will not overrule your choice. The things of God have to be received. They do. Is one of the more, well, there are times when in my own life I wish God would just overrule me and bring me into what He says He does. But that's not how He works. Right? And you know what? If that's not how He works, it's because it's good that He doesn't overrule me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Inasmuch as I might see, you know, I just snap your fingers and bring me into that healing that you're talking about. From my perspective, that sounds great. From God's perspective, it would violate so many precious things that you would actually be worse off. That's why He doesn't do it. Don't you think if there was a better way for God to bring you into every good thing, He wouldn't have done it? He gave His Son. He has announced His intention toward us. He gave His very begotten Son for us. He sacrificed Him on the cross. If He gave His Son and there was yet a better way to bring you into every blessing, would He not do it? Of course He will. So therefore, let's acknowledge from the get-go, God is right. He is wise. He is good when He says, I'm waiting for you. It may be frustrating to see people who could be helped by the gospel of God and be delivered so quickly. It can be frustrating to see them have to wait because they are unwilling to say yes to God. But that's how it works. Again, I want to emphasize, for ourselves, okay, as a platform for each one of us to operate from, but for everybody who might be hearing this, God has good for you. His entire agenda revolves around doing you good. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that you are the only point of his plans, but concerning you, He only has good. Only has good. Right? This is the reality of what God has done. And He's waiting for you to say yes.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. He's waiting for each one of us to say yes. What Jesus did on the cross to set us free from the curse of sin and death has to be received. If you have not received the Lord personally,
You know, if you just go to church, because, well, that's what I do. I've always gone to church. I don't know it's fine when I didn't go to church. No, that's fine. It's great that you go to church, but it isn't what God is offering. Church is wonderful, and I've said it before. I love coming to church. Warren testified about how when he comes to church, there can be things that he's struggling with, and he receives help from the Lord. This is a touch point for heaven to affect you. You know, the assembly of the believers is not a, well, you know, what else would you be doing? I don't want it to rain on you while you go camping, so come to church. No, that's not God. This is a place, a very real touch point, I don't know a better way to put it, for heaven to reach down and affect you when you come to church. He happens to use people, but it is a real touch point. That is wonderful, but it is not how things start. Everything starts with you personally saying to Jesus, what you did for me. And I believe you. I receive it. I am the one who needs it. That's where a life with God starts. God is not looking to see, have you led a good life? Because honestly, when it comes to God's standard, you will never have lived a life that was good enough. People sometimes think that all that God is after is a good life. And they have misunderstood. God is after a perfect life. And none of us could attain to it, so he gave his son. And in his son, makes available a grace that enables you to live right before him. That's what's on offer. That's what's on offer. But it must be received. Isn't it an astonishing thing that the Savior of the world is ready to help anyone, and so many people don't get help? You have to receive him. But having received him, he wants to bring about everything that he promised in your life and mine. Having received him, you begin a journey with him where, again, without violating your free will, step at a time, episode by episode, he brings you into an agreement with him over what Jesus has made possible that allows the very real power of God to flow into your life and affect you. Okay? I don't mean fireworks as much as I mean something that does not originate from you coming to affect you and make you what you could not have been apart from God. This is what we have been called into. Right? God is not after just polishing people. He's after making them just like Jesus. That's not possible with a good philosophy. It's not possible by trying hard. It's only possible through a growing fellowship with God. And that's what he's made possible for us. Right? I just sometimes just marvel that God is so interested in me that he would grant me that. You know, that he would grant this privilege of being, that he would be involved with me in every aspect of my life to help me. What an astonishing thing. What an astonishing thing. Right? So, that's actually just my preamble. I want to remind you that when I was last year with you, because I was away last week, and I'm thankful for Warren stepping in and ministering. When I was last year, we were talking about strengthening yourself in the Lord. And that in the context of how do you deal with trouble. Because in this place, even though God's will is good, you'll have trouble. It's not God giving you trouble. Okay, let's be clear about that. God does not purpose or plan trouble for anyone. But because of the choices that have been made before us, trouble is in this world. The adversary has the right to come and try and wreak havoc in your life. How do you deal with it? Because God's solution is not to snap your fingers and cause your feet to levitate 3 feet off the ground and nothing touches you. The troubles that we face become an opportunity for you to see what God has made possible for you in Jesus. Right? And at the end of the day, believing God cannot be done by correspondence. You know, you cannot learn how to... There are certain things in life that you cannot do just by reading a book. Okay? You cannot learn how to drive a car effectively just by reading a book. Right? You've got to get in the car and drive. You with me? There are certain things that you cannot learn just by information alone. And walking with God is one of those things. There is a nitty-gritty to believing God that can only be experienced. And every episode that we go through is a place where God is helping you to say yes to Him. I'll believe you. I'll believe you. I'll believe you. So we don't have to be nervous about the fact that there is trouble. God just uses it for our advantage. But we do need to listen to about how we deal with it. And one of the things that we saw is the necessity of the believer, the saint, rejoicing always. Right? It isn't the only thing about trouble. There's a wisdom that comes from God that can make a difference, of course. But we just considered the necessity of rejoicing. We took our cues from James, where it says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And that endurance has its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So here is this time where maybe because of something you were unaware of that you were doing that opened a door for the devil, maybe because of something somebody else did that opened a door for the devil, maybe just because we live in a fallen world, trouble has come to your life. Okay? Whatever might be the cause, trouble has come. The devil loves it. He loves to wreak trouble. But hallelujah, God says, I'm turning that into an opportunity for you to become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I mean, how is that? For wonderful. Even trouble becomes a mechanism by which God can make you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You get a sense of the mind of God toward us. Trouble is not, well, you made your bed, lie in it. That's not how He thinks. That's not how God thinks. You are stupid. Why are you surprised that stupid stuff happens to you? This is not God. This is not God. I may be stupid, there's no question about that. And stupid things may happen. But God does not leave me there. He says, okay, I have another opportunity to give you good things. Let's get working. Here's what I want you to do. Rejoice. Rejoice? I'm in trouble here. I don't like this. What is there to rejoice over? There's absolutely nothing to rejoice over in the trouble. But you have every reason to rejoice over me, says the Lord. That is the key. Do not let trouble define your life. Do not let trouble define your life. You know, by no means am I free of this. There's still so many things that God needs to build into me. But I can distinctly remember a time in my life where I expected trouble because I make a mess out of anything I'm given. I can look back at my life, significant places in my life, and I can see where I fell short. It's not hard. It's pretty obvious. And so there begins to be built within us the sense, I mess everything up. Who is Titus Matthews? The guy who messes anything up. If you give me something, I'll mess it up. It may or may not be true at a certain point. But it just becomes how you think of yourself. And it opens a door for the devil. Do you know anyone? Have you ever been the person who just says, it's always going to go wrong? You know that whole Murphy's Law? If anything can go wrong, it will. And all of the variations that there are on that. And, you know, as amusing as it can be, the problem becomes when that becomes your definition of you. Every moment of your life, you're walking on eggshells because you expect, as even if this is a good day, something's going to go wrong. You just expect it. Because the definition of your life has not come from what God has said about you. It's come from experience, and usually a poor analysis of your experience. Okay? Most of our experiences, honestly, you know, as our brother testified to us, God found a way to rescue us anyway. You know, so a poor analysis of what we've been through.
a lie from the devil who is always happy to offer you his opinion, and it'll be very believable because he talks in your ears. Are you aware of that? This is an aside, okay? You know, sometimes in the movies, the devil is portrayed as this
dear God with horns and there's fire around him, and he's just so, you know, frightening that everybody cowers before him. That is not the devil. If the devil looks like that, don't worry. That's obvious.
The devil is usually a still, quiet voice with your language. And he talks with your voice. He's sneaky and he's subtle and he pokes you with an accusation that is very believable. And so, people who have come to the living God, even though they are beloved of God and the blessing of God is upon them, I mean, we could take time right now. I don't have the time. We could take time. And I could ask you, just tell me a verse that says something about you from God's perspective. We could go to Ephesians, which, you know, that first chapter is just nothing but God saying what is true about you from his perspective. You know, and he says these outrageous things. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's not what I see. Because my definition of me comes from somewhere else. So when that happens, it is not a surprise that things go wrong. Okay? So one of the things that has to change about you is your definition of you. It has to go from what may seem compelling, convincing, you have lots of evidence to back it up, this is who I am. It has to go from that to, and yet God says this. You know, there are people, I have been this, so it's not like I'm picking on somebody. I've been this. They are so clumsy that you can, that every time you meet them, there's something else broken. Their toe is broken. Their arm is broken. Their back is hurt. Something has gone wrong. And when you hear the story, like, there's some weird and wacky thing happened to them that puts them in pain. And they just start to accept that is normal. And on top of that, I might be going too far with this. On top of that, they carry this invitation for sympathy. Poor him, look at him. And as I said, I've been this and I'm so ashamed of it. What am I doing when I do this? Look how God has failed me. Look how God has failed me. But I'm still serving the Lord. I'm still serving. What a ludicrous thing to say. It is actually an attitude that has you at the center. Even though God doesn't deal with me, I'm serving the Lord. You see why I say I'm just so amazed at the mercy of God that surrounds me all the time. The more you walk with him and you find out how gracious you are, you find out, oh my goodness, the things that I have said about God. You begin to relate to Isaiah, who says, I have seen him. And I realize I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And I am a man of unclean lips. The stuff that I say about the living God, that is just wrong. So anyway, you might be this person, and it might be that you are not, you know, the most gifted athletically. But until your definition of you changes to line up with what God says, that trouble is going to be having an open door in your life. It need not be the case that you are clumsy and always falling down. It's not normal. It's not normal that what you put your hands to fails. It's not normal. Because the blessing of God changes all of that. God did not give his son to leave you exactly as you were. The issue is that we have to take it. We have to accept it. We have to begin to say, actually, I'm going to agree with what God is saying. And sometimes there is this conflict between, it doesn't make any sense to me. Everything about me says, this is what I am. And all I have over here is the word says, this is what I am. And so there's this conflict where your confidence shifts from what I'm experienced with, what makes logical sense to me, what everything is, to, and yet this is what God says. But that shift has to happen. That shift has to happen. Do not let trouble define you. Trouble is merely the opportunity for God to give you something. I don't mean to make light. I know that people are going through difficult things, and I know that I've gone through difficult things. And the last thing I want to hear anybody say in that time sometimes is, don't worry, it's going to be all right. I'm not saying don't worry, it's going to be all right. What I am saying is you walk with God in the middle of it and see what he says come to pass. Seek what he says come to pass. So, that as my basis. I just want to touch on one thing today. I want to take two portions of Scripture. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 4. And then we're also going to read from John chapter 15. In fact, we'll start with John chapter 15. The title of my message is simply this: Can you do all things? You'll see why I take that message very shortly. So, John chapter 15. And Philippians chapter 4. Let's start reading John chapter 15, verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to his disciples. He's giving us very important information. This is the last dialogue he has. This is in the middle of the last dialogue he has with his disciples before he's crucified. It's important stuff. He knows he's about to die. He is laying out before them very important things. John chapter 15, beginning to read verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And here's where we get to what I want to emphasize. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 10, the first part is not really what I want to emphasize, but I'll read it just because, instead of jumping in the middle of the paragraph. But I rejoice, this is Paul writing, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Oh my goodness, what a verse to work with. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I'll stop there. Okay? So two passages. Jesus saying, you can do nothing apart from me. And Paul saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think both of these passages are pretty famous, especially if you've been involved with the church for any length of time. They're pretty famous, okay? I can do nothing apart from him. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What do you think about you, about yourself? I don't know about you, but I'm finding myself in circumstances that actually go beyond what I of myself am able to resolve. You know? Leave aside everyday things where, I don't know whether you have this experience, you know, sometimes with some of the work that I do, I'm doing something, it doesn't work, I ask the Lord for help and I find an answer for it. I've had the experience of him literally giving me an answer for an electronics problem. Okay? So, I certainly do mean that context, but you know what? As we begin to walk with the Lord, you're put in a situation where somebody says, can you pray for this? I'm thinking, what do you do in that circumstance? What do you do in that circumstance? When somebody comes and prays for something that you yourself think is outrageous, what do you do? Because if you say, oh, that's stupid, then you are beginning to undermine that person's faith, and that is worse than you saying nothing. Because the very fact that that person thinks to ask to pray means that something has happened within them that they think is possible. This need not be the way it is. And if you have any sense of what God is like, how dare you put yourself and say, oh, let me bring you back to reality. No, you're bringing them back into a false reality. The reality is that every word that God says, He is ready to do for anyone who believes. Outrageous as it might be. So you have to learn how you watch yourself there. And by no means am I trying to say pretend. I'm not saying any of these things. I'm just trying to lay out before you, how does this work out? How do you go from the place where this is really beyond me? How do you navigate that? How do you navigate that? Well, the secret is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is not limited to my experience. And to I don't have a feeble mind. I have a pretty good mind. But it's puny compared to what is necessary in God. He is not limited. Or let me put this differently. Is God limited by your intelligence? Think about this, what you mean. Are you a person who says, that doesn't make any sense to me, therefore everything has to stop? Some of us are like that. I'm certainly like that, at least I'm learning not to be, but that is my tendency. If it makes no sense to me, then how can I operate in it? And there is some truth to this. I do not mean to say that your understanding is not important. When Zach was here, he took some time to explain to us how we're composed, and part of us includes the intellect. It is not something to discard and to deny its importance in the design of God. You cannot believe something that everything within your intellect says there is no way that's possible. Okay? So really, we need to learn to deal with our intellect. How does it work? I will say one thing, and I'll leave it here as a launching point. Well, I don't even want to say launching point. May it stir you to start considering, how do I deal with the places in my life where what is required is beyond. Somebody comes and asks me to pray, it's beyond me. I have a problem in my body, and it's beyond me how I can get this resolved. I have a situation at work, or somebody I'm related to, and it is beyond me. I just don't know what to do. How do I deal with that? How do I deal with that? Well, if you're anything like me, I run to that verse that says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, Father, I just thank you. I can't do anything about this because apart from you, I can do nothing. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes for me, that has been my excuse for not doing anything. I can't do anything about it. Apart from you, I can't do anything. And do you understand what I mean? I mean, we face circumstances that are beyond us. And it is right to acknowledge, I can't fix this. This really is beyond me. This is beyond what I can do anything about. I just want to acknowledge, Father, that I can't do anything about you. And then the Lord, at least speaking for myself, and I hope this stirs you, convicted me. Why do you act like you're apart from me? You're acting like only the second part of that verse is true. It is true to say, apart from you. Sorry, I didn't express that right. You're acting like that you are apart from me, and therefore, because you're apart from me, you can't do anything. That is a logical, completely true statement, but you are, to use logical terms, you are, not logical terms, we're getting all wrong. What about this assumption at the beginning that says, you're apart from me? You're not apart from me. I put my spirit within you. How can you be apart from me if my spirit dwells within you? I want to take a moment to say there is some very important things that we need to consider about abiding. I'm not trying to make all of that go away, but I want to say that the starting point is here. You have to stop saying about yourself, I am apart from Him. to start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't mean to imply that that's a magic phrase. But what I am talking about is, how do you define yourself? Do you let trouble define you? Do you let your experience define you? Do you let your weakness in the Lord define you? Because God's solution to this life is not make you stronger. It is, everything you need is in Jesus. And your access to everything you need in Jesus is going to be by faith. It really is. It really is. Sometimes I wonder, at least in my own life, having gone through things enough and started to see how things work, my confidence shifted from faith in Him to, oh, I know how to do this. I know how to do this. And that's shaky ground when I know how to do this. Right? Do you remember the disciples had that same experience? A man came, his son was demon-possessed. I know how to do this. Because they had just come from a mission trip where everywhere they went, demons were subject to their name, to them in the name of Jesus. They knew how to cast out demons. They knew how to cast out demons. I know how to do this. And you find from Jesus' instructions to them afterwards that he thought they could have done something about this. But instead of trusting in what God had said, they went back to, I know how to do this. It happens though. Right? So we face circumstances that make it clear, I don't know how to do this. But we are not permitted to say, therefore nothing can be done. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is who I am. I may have to do a lot of work to get myself to the place where when I think of whatever I face, ah, God's got this. I can do whatever I need, and then begin to reach out to the Lord for what is needed. If you are only going to pray for people who have had what you've had, it's going to be a very small group of people that you can pray for. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not trying to minimize the necessity of practice and the benefit that comes from having experienced God move through you in something, and there that gives you confidence. You know, you pray for somebody who had a cold, the next day they're fine. That gives you confidence for the next time. That's fine, as long as it doesn't become, I know how to do this, as if it was something that started with you. No answer from God that flowed through you started with you. You were just the vehicle through which it flowed through. So that is going to be the secret for every problem that you ever face from here on in. And if we are going to be able to reach out and see other people help by things that are beyond what we've ever seen, we have to redefine ourselves to be, I am not apart from God. His Spirit dwells within me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? As I said, there is work there. There is an abiding. There is a being filled with what God has said. I don't mean to imply somehow we have become superheroes, because we haven't. But your definition of you has to be what God says, or you will be limited to the definition that you have of yourself. Okay? Let me put that in a better way. You are limited to the definition of who you are that you carry. If that definition is, I am what God says I am, then you are unlimited. But whatever is less than that, that you carry as the, this is all I can do, that'll be your stopping point. Blow it apart. Let's take what God has said. The living God himself is with us. That has to mean more than something that makes me feel better when I'm kind of down about myself. Whatever comes across my path, God's with me. Therefore, I want to stop thinking like, I can't do anything about this. And start thinking in terms of, okay, you have something to do about this. What do you want me to do? Put your hands on that person. Okay, you've never done this before. I don't know what words I'm going to say. And you just trust that when you put your hands on that person, God gives you the utterance you need and you begin to pray. Otherwise, we are limiting God to just what we have experienced. I'll stop there. I don't want to dismiss some very important things that need to go along with this, like abiding in Jesus. But if your abiding in Jesus doesn't result in the definition you have of yourself changing, you're not really abiding in him. You're still abiding in you, with Jesus flavoring it, if I can put it that way. And that has to stop. God has granted us an adventure in faith that is astonishing. Let's not fall short of it. Right? Let's stir one another up to faith and to good deeds that go beyond what is possible for human beings to do of themselves, that thereby God would be glorified. Let's start by saying, okay, Father, even though I see so little evidence of it, the reality is I can do all things through you. Forgive me for every place where I have allowed my inadequacy to be the covering by which I hide. I'm not by myself. I'm with you. So, let's end with a chorus to the Lord. Again, I want to say, these things are for those who have said yes to the Lord. If you have not said yes to the Lord, what's wrong? Please don't let religious ideas about being a good person and going to church keep you from the treasure that God himself wants to give you. And that is himself. You need to say yes to the Lord and receive what he's done for you at the cross. And I also want to say, if there's something you want someone to stand with you in prayer, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's not be limited to what human beings think are possible. The scriptures say, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it has not entered the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. It goes beyond what we are able to conceive of it being possible if we're willing to say yes to the Lord. Let's put ourselves in that position. Amen? Okay, let's give thanks and then let's continue.